Peaches are often seen as a summer delicacy, and some Valley residents are getting ready to pick them off trees in their yards. But for our next guest, this fruit has a much deeper meaning. Reagan White-Salusi works with Utah State University Extension and has been trying to bring back the kinds of peaches that used to be grown on tribal lands across the Southwest. She says there's a record of peaches growing in this part of the country dating to at least 1630, and that at one point on Navajo land in Canyon de Chelly, there were more than 4,500 fruit trees at a time. But prior to the Long Walk in the 1860s, when the Navajo were forcibly removed from their land, the U.S. military cut the trees down and burned them. Then, after 4 years, the U.S. government and Navajo signed a treaty allowing them to come back to their homelands, where they replanted the peach trees. I spoke with White-Salusi recently and asked her how she got into the kind of work she's doing, because it's not just an academic exercise for her, it's personal.
Yeah, so I'm a person that doesn't like to sit idle with the goals or what I'm going to do with my life. So from the very beginning of my education, I had the main and large focus of getting an education in agriculture to come back to my Native American ancestral lands and start teaching and helping my people improve or start their agriculture operations again. So that's the overall focus. And it carried on into studying specific plants, such as the Southwest peaches, and also what we call wild spinach. It's a native plant. And both of these are traditional food crops that have sustained our communities for many centuries.
Are the trees that are grown now the same kinds of peaches as were grown before the cavalry burned them all or cut them all down?
A majority of them, yes. So in that case, at Canyon de Chelly, the Calvary did allow or give new fruit trees back to the people to replant in those canyons. They did replant those, but almost all of them, if not definitely most of them, are no longer thriving from what the federal government had given at that time on their return. So what is remaining in there is the original peaches that were replanted from that seed source that they've been growing for hundreds of years.
How similar or dissimilar are those peaches to what, you know, we might be familiar with getting in the grocery store or what a lot of folks, you know, in the Phoenix area might grow in their backyards?
They look nothing like what you get in the grocery store. They're the size of an apricot. The ones specifically in Canyon de Chelly are white fleshed. They have a light blush on the top. They're mostly a light yellow or a white underside for the side of the fruit that's not exposed to the sun. And they're freestone, and they have a lighter sweetness. And we've looked at their nutrition. They're more nutritious than what you get in the grocery store.
And how do you find the taste?
The taste is a variety. So I've tasted peaches from Hopi and from other places on the Navajo Nation. And there are some other peaches that can be yellow fleshed. Some of them I've tasted can have like a cinnamon spice flavor. Others can have a very full peach flavor. So if you have, you know, the common yellow peach, you can have a flavor very similar to that. And then the white fleshed peaches, I say that they kind of almost taste like a musk melon.
It sounds really, really good.
It is very good, and they are unique. It's a flavor that a lot of elders, since they're not growing in abundance like they used to be, though they do still exist, but in very few numbers, a lot of elders do reminisce of the peaches and when harvest is. That's a very unique flavor and unique memories that come back at that time.
So as part of your work, are you trying to increase the number of fruit-bearing trees to try to bring this fruit back to that part of the world?
Yes. So a lot of my earlier work has actually been to look at their DNA, basically, and to see where they fit in with the rest of the peaches in the world. And so as we've done this, we've found out that they've been growing in these locations isolated for so many generations that they are a very inbred population within their own communities. And as we have that, basically now we're not only just trying to preserve this and make it available, we're trying to actually preserve their genetics and preserve how they are naturally adapted to the environment. Because that's also something that we're trying to identify is are they just growing in the environment because Some of it could be, their genetics. They tolerate it better. So do they have some drought tolerant characteristics that, we can ensure and say these are the best trees to grow in our area because of the current conditions that we have.
This sounds very much like a situation where you might be thinking, if these seeds could talk.
Yeah, absolutely. I do that quite often, actually. I talk to these trees. I tell them, their purpose for growing and the all of what they are a part of. And that to me, I feel in part, I've heard an elder tell me that the trees, the plants, they select you, based off of your heart, based off of your purpose and your desires. And so I don't know that I have a green thumb. I think it's more of the trust and the purpose behind this and why they choose to thrive and why I've been able to be successful in growing these trees, whereas some other individuals say they struggle. They can't get them to grow. It's a challenge. So in a sense, I feel like, if they could talk, they would maybe tell me they selected me and it's because of this purpose that I'm doing, is trying to bring them back, trying to bring them back to the community in an abundant way.
I want to ask you also about the role that your dad is playing in this kind of work, because in doing some reading, it seems as though, the two of you are in some ways working fairly closely on this kind of project.
Yeah, so he's been a step-by-step partner, and a lot of the reason why I've brought him in is because this was first and foremost, it was his thought process and encouragement that made me interested and sparked the thought that, yeah, I think, I can study agriculture and I can do this. And along the way, an opportunity presented itself where I was actually able to start studying these crops. And it was no longer just a dream, but it was a pathway to getting me to where I'm at, so I can continue doing and moving forward in that goal in helping bring agriculture back to our Native American communities. And so he's been along the way as a translator because I don't speak the Navajo language. He's fluent in Navajo, and he's also been there as a land guide. And I would also say as a protector, because a lot of these areas that we had to go into, he had never been in before, but he knew they existed. And they're areas where he grew up surrounding the neighboring communities that we were going into. And so as we built relations, and he guided me basically on how to present myself, how to carry myself in front of my people, and to be progressive in a way, but still have a lot of cultural respect.
Reagan White-Salusi works with Utah State University Extension.